appreciate y'all. Welcome to another episode of Unapologetically Black Gaming Podcast, a podcast that is for black gamers by black gamers. I am one of your hosts, the infamous hood rat with the heart of gold himself, Cortez Washington. And as always, I'm joined by a special guest. This person is the founder and CEO of Brown Girl Gamer Cold. You might catch her on Twitch. You also might catch her doing a lot of other things. But one main thing she's always doing is community building. So please show some love to Brandy Hooker.
Hello, hello. Thank you for that intro.
Oh, yeah, no problem, no problem. Hopefully that was good enough.
Yes, that was great. Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Brandy. As Cortez said, I am the founder of Brown Girl Gamer Code, and I'm so happy to be here today.
Awesome. Yes, yes. And we are happy to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, I took a different approach to my Monday, so... Mm-hmm. Today actually feels a little more like my week is just getting started since I took yesterday to kind of chill a bit. So I'm feeling good today.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's real good. That's real good.
Yeah. How about you?
Okay. I'm doing all right. You know, it's Tuesday, you know, it's not Friday yet, but hey, we're going to get there.
So yes, we're going to get there.
That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. No, but I'm doing really good though. Really good. Enjoying this good weather before it gets too hot out here where I'm at. So. But other than that, yeah, really good, really happy to talk to you today. Cause I really love everything that you're doing with the community building and the things that you're offering, and the things that you're doing within the gaming industry.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, first things first, this is one of the hardest questions I always have for my guests is what is your first gaming memory? So like, what's the first game you remember playing that like, and then didn't necessarily drive you to like a career path, but really drove mm-hmm. you to it being like a lifelong hobby?
Oh my goodness. So I have a couple, actually. I can't choose just one.
Okay.
I love talking about my first experiences with video games. My first console was the PlayStation 1.
Oh, cool.
And I remember playing the demo disc, the games on the demo disc, which I truly miss in today's age of gaming. But so some of the games I played on there, I remember there was like this ninja game. I can't remember the name of it, but there was like this ninja and you run around and there was like a big crab you had to fight at some point.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And it always used to scare the crap out of me. So I would play that. I would try Gran Turismo, which I really liked. Mm-hmm. But I would say like my first true memories. I have two games that I really want to call out here. One of them is Tomb Raider. Lara Croft I call her my problematic fave. Because she's always, you know, doing the most. You know, you have this rich white woman going into tombs and disturbing things that she shouldn't be doing.
Yeah,
and wreaking havoc on the world. But I love Tomb Raider. It was, you know, Lara Croft was one of the first women identifying characters that I felt connected to. And so I really love Tomb Raider. And then the next game is A Bug's Life. That's the first game I remember rage quitting on. Mm-hmm. Specifically the level where you had to use the dandelion to fly across this canyon. And if you landed anywhere before you got to like this thorn, this giant bird would come down and kill you. And I could not figure out how to get across this canyon for the longest. So yeah, I would say those are some of my earliest gaming memories. And of course, Spyro. Spyro is a classic and one of my favorites that I remember playing first.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You just tapped into a memory of mine with the Bug's Life, because I remember playing a demo of that on PlayStation actually. And mm-hmm. it was really fun.
Yes.
But I always remember that, like, one thing I always remember is that kids games back in the day were like a little more, actually a lot more stressful than what they are now. Like they're super simplistic. Like back in the day, they did not care if you were adult or child.
They did not care.
You're going to learn these mechanics. Like that's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's dope. That's dope. I'd love to get into your origin story of like how you got on this pathway of like, not only just being like working within the like gaming industry, like doing community stuff, but like the community building aspect, like what drove you to do that? So I would love to just hear that. So yeah.
Absolutely. So I think I've always been a community focused person. Even as a kid, I liked being in community with others. I grew up an only child for the most part. And you know, I had to figure out, I had to, you know, make up my own stories and get creative with my imagination. So whenever I had the opportunity to be in community with folks, I took advantage of that. And so I would say like probably in high school, I got really into like community type things where, I was in the marching band and, I was on the flag team, and that was like one of my first solid communities of people where we did a lot of things together. And we had to, build each other up and share resources and things like that. I'm also a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, and I did the teenage version of that, where we did a lot of community service and we'd go and, you know, read books to kids and just raise, do fundraising and things like that. And so I started getting into community building at a very early age. When I got to college, I started my first community on campus for freshmen, Black women to find their way on campus. So I went to a predominantly white institution, and it was, you know, difficult for us to find each other at times and just connect and really find resources on campus. So I had organized a lock-in for freshmen, Black freshmen, women to come and link up with all of these campus organizations. They came and they set up tables and things like that. We did some workshops about self-image and internships and all of these things. And it was so, so amazing. And I think from there is where I just kind of got hooked on it. Like, this is dope. Like, bringing people together for like a common goal, the greater good, and just helping folks who need a little bit more guidance and things like that. And so fast forward to now, in my career, I did a lot of community-based work in terms of crisis. So when I was in school, I started working at a community suicide crisis center.
Okay.
And then I worked at a domestic violence shelter, and we just provided a lot of community resources. But I got kind of burned out from all the crisis things from doing that. I did that for about 10 years, probably. And then I realized gaming was my passion, honestly. I just wanted to create a space where other women and femmes of color could find each other, connect, share resources, and take off our armor, where we don't have to always be on the defense trying to protect ourselves from harassment. And so there came Brown Girl Gamer Code, and yeah, I've been doing community stuff ever since.
Wow, that's a very extensive journey, but also like it's like, but in a good way, because it shows like you've been all about building bridges and community and being like that person for since you were young, you know, youth. And it's always interesting to hear people who have done that and then like go into the field where like people, where that community is needed the most, you know, like you were in the crisis, you were helping people in crises, you know, and that can get draining, because just in like being in those spaces and those experiences, it's hard to not take it home with you, you know, and especially when you see us, you know, us in those spaces too. It's like even it hits double hard at home, you know, and that can be taxing. So I applaud you for doing that for so long, you know,
Thank you.
Because I just know like both like being in experiences, like doing community stuff, community based stuff is like a career, but also like being like surrounded by so many people who do work like that, like social work and other aspects that have taken a toll on them. And they're like, their just their lifestyle and all those things that are associated with it. So
That's a lot amazing. Of burnout, a lot of secondhand trauma, and mm-hmm. all kinds of things. So it's definitely, it can be tough. It can be very challenging.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing too with that is like seeing those people who treat it like. It's just a regular job, like they mm-hmm. like, you know,
yes,
like they're not even like kind of like an accountant but not an accountant, you know, like mm-hmm. they're not an accountant but they look at it as like, oh, it's just work, you know, mm-hmm. gotta do what I gotta do, and it's like you in a different field, don't approach it like that.
And there's, you know, people that are definitely in it for the wrong reasons, or they're not mm-hmm. Really there for like the community. So there's mm-hmm. there's a lot of different challenges in terms of like the people that you might work with or encounter in the space, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So you started Brown Girl Gamer Code mm-hmm. and now it's blossomed into this bigger dream and aspirations. Like, what was your original intent of the organization, and like what has like, how has it evolved over the years?
Yes. So, you know, when it comes to Brown Girl Gamer Code, my intention was to provide a platform where I talked about video games and providing a safe space, honestly, or a brave space, I like to call them at times too. But my best friend and I, she and I connected over playing The Sims when we were 11 years old.
Okay, yeah, that's what's
yes,
up.
Yes, we were 11 years old. She's still my very best friend to this day. But she and I, you know, I was talking to her. I had this idea and I was saying, like, you know, I'm trying to find other Black women in this space. And mm-hmm. at the time I was working in higher education as a hall director. Mm-hmm. And I had just graduated from grad school and I had more time on my hands. I had always known, like, for a couple years that I wanted to start a gaming organization mm-hmm. For Black women and women of color. I just didn't really have the time to do it since I was in grad school. When I graduated, I was like, all right, the time is now. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to her about, you know, the struggles I was experiencing, even just like doing a simple Google search. I couldn't really find folks, and if I did, the articles were like super outdated. And it was just hard to find, like, just looking up Black women video game characters, or even people who make the games and who are behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I want to create a platform where that's not the case anymore. Like, eventually, like, if you're looking for folks in the industry, you can come to us and find everything that you need. Mm-hmm. Either we have folks in the community that are doing the things, or, you know, we've interviewed folks or amplified their stories in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. And so I literally just started with I created a free website on Wix. I didn't even have a updated like console. I didn't have a PC or anything. I was still playing games on my PlayStation 2.
Wow.
I was still playing on my PlayStation 2. I am a sucker for nostalgia and retro games.
Yeah. That was the best place to do it, because a lot of those compilations of like older games came to mm-hmm. PlayStation 2. And they're like, and it's so hard to get a lot of those that went to the PlayStation 2 and that are like being re-released now, because mm-hmm. there are like some exclusives they dropped on the PS2. So,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I was still having a grand old time playing my PS2. Mm-hmm. And for some years, you know, I was just also playing The Sims on my laptop. So I completely skipped over like the PlayStation 3. And I was just like, you know, I just wanted to start it. So I created a free Wix website. I found some old controllers and like one of my favorite headbands, and I like placed them on my couch and took a picture, and I was like, all right, there's our logo. You know, I wanted to use what I had. And for folks listening, I hope that they understand that if you have like a dream or something that you want to do, like, start with what you have. You don't need to start with the best or the top of the line anything. If you have a passion for something, like, look at what resources you already have and start, because that's literally what I did. And so I didn't even know what Twitch was yet. I didn't find out about Twitch until a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And I started finding folks on the platform, other Black women who were playing video games and stuff. And I ended up going live by accident. I got a PlayStation 4 and I didn't realize you could stream from the console. And I just was playing around and ended up going live. And from there, like, I started finding people. We made a Discord server. And it has turned into so much more than what I intended it to be. We do all kinds of things. I never imagined that, you know, like I said, I love The Sims. I never imagined that I would partner or like get a sponsorship from EA. And we did that.
Yeah.
And that was like, when that happened, I was just in shock, you know? So, you know, we put together workshops to help folks with their branding and their media kits, talk about health, talk about different technology things. We have a live show that I host now called Code Chats, where we interview industry experts. We center, of course, women and femmes of color, but we've interviewed like the developers from Apex Legends, some well-known authors in the space, some really dope content creators, and you know, it's really just turned into a vessel, I think,
yeah,
for folks to come and, like I said in the beginning, take off their armor, mm-hmm. Connect and build with each other, mm-hmm. get access to resources and things like that. And so it really has just blossomed. We actually turned 6 years old this month.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. So, you know, it's definitely just blossomed into a very impactful space that I'm super, super proud of.
Yeah, that is so dope. And it sounds like it was just all natural, just a natural.
It was a natural
mm-hmm. evolution, just mm-hmm. like just because of what it is that you were offering and your main focus of like doing the things that you wanted to do. That was just like a natural mm-hmm. evolution. So, yeah, that's what's up.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so and during that time I'm seeing like I'm like scrolling through your LinkedIn, but you had opportunities to be a community manager and a project manager.
Mm-hmm.
For those who like I've always aspired to be a community manager, like could you like basically explain what the role is and like mm-hmm. and what was like one of your day to days? Because I feel like, you know, in any space, it's always different each day. But like, what would be a typical day to day for you?
Yeah. So when it comes to community management, I think that one, you have to assess like what your transferable skills are.
Mm-hmm.
Because community management is so broad. And I think there's different kinds of community management, too. One of the things that I learned getting into this was me managing Brown Girl Gamer Code is similar, but also very different from being a community manager at a video game studio.
Yeah.
So you have communities that are literally community powered, like that's what they're for. They're built by like the community members themselves, and they're they may have more philanthropic goals or networking goals versus like a community that's built around a product mm-hmm. or like a studio or a game or something like that. So mm-hmm. there's a difference there. The priorities are different. The goals are different as well. Like for Brown Girl Gamer Co., we are much more, I would say, service based when it comes to community.
Yeah.
And so we are aiming to support our members and get them access to resources and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus when I was a community manager for Glow Up Games, it was more so we were building a community around the studio and around Insecure Game. So my day-to-day looks different for both of those. So for when I was a community manager at Glow Up Games, a lot of my day-to-day revolved around working with the developers and the engineers,
mm-hmm.
Looking at different either technical issues or things that were coming out of the game when it launched. So if there were like different updates to the game in terms of characters or the word packs and things like that. Also being the main source of like communication between the folks who are playing the game and issues that they may be facing, and having them communicate that to me, and then me sharing that with the dev team so that there's a clear line of communication between what needs to change, what needs to update, what needs to stay the same, and things like that. And then another big part of my role, which I would say this is pretty common for a lot of community manager roles, is around social media, and some also marketing too. So I ran our Discord server, and then I also manage all of our social media channels. So TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the website and things like that. So I did a lot of content planning. And so the goal, or I would say a big responsibility is to really uplift the game and build community around the game, make sure that the players are up to date on the patch notes and things like that. I created content around like player guides, so here's how to do this, here's how to do that, and really pulling out features of the game that we wanted to highlight. And things like that. So yeah, like I think as a community manager for like a studio, you are essentially like the face of the studio for the most part. You are often the person that the community members are going to come in contact with before anyone else. And so you are essentially like a representative of the studio and the community. So versus like with Brown Girl Gamer Code, my day-to-day looks a bit different, where I'm overseeing our committees. So we have our Twitch moderation team, our Discord mod team, our fundraising and charity team, our community events team, and things like that. So I'm making sure that operations for those things are going smoothly, managing our social media, and just also making sure that our community management strategy is up to date. And of course, going out and seeing what brands or partnerships we can secure for the community.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, it's different. It's a lot, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and I honestly think that community management is a good way to get into the industry. For sure.
Okay, great. And that sounds like, you know, with that role, it sounds like a lot of responsibility and a lot of honestly, like, you have to have like some type of toughness or like some, like you say, like in your space, you want to take off the armor, but I feel like as a community manager, you need to put on an extra layer.
100%. Like 100%. That's a great call out. Yes.
How are you able to like build up that dexterity when it came to being a community manager?
Yeah, honestly, I have higher education and my work as a crisis consultant to thank for that. Because I had to have tough armor on. When I worked as a hall director, I served as I did an on-call rotation for like a week straight, a couple times out of the semester. And so at that point, you can be dealing with anything. And I dealt with a lot of heavy, heavy things worked with a lot of students who had been exposed or dealt with some trauma and things like that. So
yeah,
and when I go into those situations, I really have to decenter myself, and that's what I do as a community manager as well in gaming. I have to decenter myself, and I also have to know that even when you deal with tough people or even bad actors, I can't personalize what they're saying to me or about the studio or the organization. I cannot internally personalize that. I think you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself and your ability. And that doesn't mean that you expect yourself to be perfect or anything like that.
Yeah.
It just means that you are confident in what you know and what your skills are. And you have to kind of lead with that. And you also have to have a lot of patience with folks as well, because sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes people are just upset and it's not your fault. But you have to be able to de-escalate the situation, and you have to be able to manage not just your emotions, but other folks' emotions as well. So yeah, you know, I have those, my previous background to thank for that. From my armor, I think I've definitely built it up over the years. It's definitely not something that you start with and it comes with, you know, experience and stuff too. But yeah, I think just not personalizing things. And, I would say that that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned.
Yeah, that's one of the most vital lessons people need to understand when, like, transitioning to the professional field, not even professional field of like, and I'm not talking about like, you know, office job or anything. I'm literally any place that is your job, your profession. Mm-hmm. And this could be like serving, this could be whatever, you know, like understand that, like, that professional, take that professional critique. Don't take it personal, you know, mm-hmm. like, because it will eat you up if you always taking everything everybody else says as a personal attack. And like, yeah. And it sounds like you did an amazing job of understanding that, you know, with experience and time. But like, you know, it's one of those things that can, like, if you don't develop that understanding early, you're going to be worn out before you even know it.
100%. And I think you also have to understand, you have to be able to tell the difference between constructive criticism and when it's not constructive. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with constructive criticism, they're critiquing the behavior, not the person, or the work, not the person.
Yes.
And I think that's really important, especially in community management. In any role where you are, that's super like people facing, mm-hmm. And things like that, you have to be able to separate the work from you, even yes. though you might love it so much. And trust me, yes. I love the work that I do, but I had to separate that and unlearn that like idea that I am my work. No, I'm mm-hmm. not my work. I'm me, and this is the work that I've done. But at the end of the day, when I put it out there, it's no longer mine. It's out there for other people to experience. Mm-hmm. And it's free for people to critique. And, you know, you have to really draw a fine line and understand that people aren't critiquing you. It's critiquing your work, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, oh, dropping some gems. Dropping some gems. I loved it. I love to hear it.
I try.
Yeah. So, I see that, like, you know, you had this transition of, like, going from Glow Up Games to actually working with Twitch. So yeah. How was that experience, like, collaborating with Twitch, especially with them being such a huge, like, platform and a huge component of the industry itself?
Yes. Honestly, I never expected that. I never saw it coming. When I first got on Twitch up until now, I never could have predicted that I would actually work there. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, so I started working with Twitch as a contractor, doing social impact initiatives, and then was promoted to full-time. And I worked on the creator diversity team in partnerships. And I could not have picked a better role for me.
Yeah.
Like, I've never worked in a role that literally just felt so perfect for me and my skill set. And honestly, Twitch was one of the first places that I worked at where, it's the only place I worked at where all of my managers, from me to my direct to the senior level to the senior level, were all Black women.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That, and I will never forget that. So that was a rare occasion for me, and I'm very thankful for that experience. But I had a great team, and I worked on a lot of really, really cool initiatives while I was there. Last year, all of the gifting, the Unity Month gifting for like Black History Month, Women's History Month, Pride Month, all of that, all the way to Native American Heritage Month, I designed and organized for creators. And that was one of my biggest accomplishments while I was there, and being able to see the reaction from creators. So I got to work with, source some like diverse suppliers. So we worked with a lot of like either I tried to coordinate it with like the month that we were celebrating. So Black owned business, women owned business, API owned business, queer owned businesses and things like that for each gift, and was able to do that. And it just meant so much to me. And that was honestly one of the best experiences that I've had in my career to do that. So yeah, I had a great experience up until the layoff, which I'm still processing through, because I did enjoy my works a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think this is just another time for me to, I guess, redirect and really just think about, like, what do I want out of life? What do I want my life to look like? So, you know, and that's kind of where I'm anchoring myself in this layoff, because I experienced a lot of grief, you know, because yeah. I love working there. And, you know, I love my team that I was working with and the projects I worked on. And so, I had a good experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. And it sounds like you got like in a way, it's like being in that space, like tapped into something that you thought like you would probably mm-hmm. would have like had to work really hard to get access to,
yeah.
in a way that was like a damn near like death defying, you know, like mm-hmm. just to like get in those spaces. So it sounds like it was a really good experience and a really good time, and mm-hmm. awesome, and just like a magnificent placement and a position for someone like yourself.
Yeah.
It's like they took, like you said, they got the right person for the right role.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and it's amazing to see that you were able to make so much of an impact mm-hmm. during your time there. And
yes.
And I think that's the one thing that like I really like to see is like impact, you know.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how long you was there, what was going on, this, that, and the other. Like mm-hmm. you, as long as you utilize the time that you had while you were there, yep. in the yep. most effective way, then that's all you can say. It's like, hey, I did what mm-hmm. I did. I did what I
did.
Need
what
to do.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did what and, I did.
Yes, you are so right. Yes, you are so, so right. And it's actually helpful for me to hear that, because I just, you know, sometimes, you know, when you go through things, and especially when you experience something good or you feel like you had a good impact, and then it's like gone, it's like, okay, wait mm-hmm. a minute, I thought I was on the right track.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, that it's a good reminder that yes, I did do what I had to do when I was there, and I had a significant impact while I was there, and I'm super grateful for. And it's just a reminder that, you know, my work doesn't stop there.
Yeah, no, and it's and all the information and knowledge and all the things you experience there, you're taking to Brown Girl Gamer Cole.
Because yep.
it's like, and it's going to be, and that's more of a win for what you were building.
Mm-hmm.
than anything, you know, because you took that yeah. time and took that energy and the insights, and like there's probably so many things, like so many gems and nuggets that you didn't got during that time.
Yes,
watching the sure. inner workings of the industry and like mm-hmm. how that platform and all those things work with that. So yeah,
yes, absolutely,
that's so dope. But yeah, so enough about talking about that, because getting laid off is the worst thing you can ever experience.
Yeah, it's definitely not the best situation.
Yeah, it's not the best situation, but let's talk about some games. So what are some games you playing right now that really got your attention?
Oh my gosh, so my brother, he's got me into Remnant, so we
okay.
have been playing some Remnant.
The first one or second one?
The second one, the one that just okay. came out, Remnant 2, yeah. So
yeah, nice.
I wasn't expecting me to enjoy it, it's different. From mm-hmm. you know, I hadn't played, he compared it to like the Dark Souls games and stuff like that,
yeah,
and that was new for me. I hadn't gotten into those kind of games, so but mm-hmm. I enjoyed playing with him, so we're playing some of that. I'm a huge Fortnite head, like that's my comfort. Mm-hmm. So of course I'm playing Fortnite. I am also playing one of the games that I've been absolutely hooked on is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That's my
okay.
go-to comfort game. I'm on my fourth playthrough because I love it so much. So I'm still playing that. I just got done playing Venba, which is a new game that just came out a couple weeks ago. That is so good. That follows a Indian family who migrated to Canada, and just talks about the culture, and it teaches you all these. You get to cook recipes, like traditional Indian recipes and stuff. So such a beautiful game. Highly recommend Vimba. And I'm also hooked on Palia right now.
Okay.
Palia is, oh my gosh, it is such a comfort. It's by Singularity 6. It's in the open beta right now. But it's a MMO, and we just had a meetup, Brown Girl Gamer Co. We had a meetup this past Sunday where members got into the game. We cooked a meal together, took some pictures. But yeah, Palia is a time. It's great. It's such a great game. Super comforting. And Apex. I also love Apex as well. So yeah, that's what I'm playing. I play a lot of games, honestly. That's one thing that has remained true. I think when you start working in the industry, sometimes you get pulled away from like just being a gamer.
Yeah.
But I'm not having it. I'm like, no, I have to stay true to my gamer roots. I'm gonna make time for some video games.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you got a nice variety of experiences that you're having right now, which is really great.
Yes.
And it fulfills like that diversity that you need when you're doing the gaming space, because I know for me too, like I play a wide variety. I would be playing like four games at the same time, and they all different, you know. But it's still like one. I realized for me, it was like the reason I did that was because my brain is now molded during the peak of my gaming. My brain is molded around the 5-day game rental window. So like when I used to do that as a kid, like that's how my attention span is now. And I had that epiphany the other day, and I was so shocked because it's like, damn, no wonder I don't play no games after 5 days. After 3 weeks, I'd be like, I don't know, man. Let me go on to something else. And it's like, that's because you used to rent a game, and then you only had 5 days to beat it. But
that's a great point.
Yeah. But it's always good to have that diversity and like have those things that you have to like, you know, take your brain away from. So like, you know, Remnant, that shit can get hard.
And like, oh my gosh. I think it's a horror game. Because what? Oh, and speaking of horror game, I'm also playing I played Deceit 2. I tried the beta test for that.
Okay.
I'm a huge horror gamer. I love horror game. I love the horror genre in general.
That's what's up.
Wide variety.
I played the one game I played and had to stop on multiple times was Resident Evil 7.
Oh my gosh.
That's one of my favorites though, just because of like the design of it all and like just like how they made that game how creepy it is.
It's
like
so creepy. You know, I didn't play it, but I watched people stream it enough. Yeah. But I am playing Resident Evil 8. That's another game that's in my rotation right now. I'm really slow getting through it. I'm so slow getting through it. But I like it. I like Resident Evil 8. It definitely feels more old school Resident Evil to me. Resident Evil is a time.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And no matter what game you play, it's going to be a good experience in the series. You know, whatever you're looking for. Like, if you're looking for more scary, you can go to one games. You can look for more like action based. You can go to some other games. If you want to change it up and go first person, they got them too. Like, you got the whole experience. So yeah. What are some games you're looking forward to that's coming out within the next year?
South of Midnight. I'm so excited for Midnight. Yes. Oh my gosh. When I saw them reveal that at the showcase, I almost passed out. Because I'm so excited for South of Midnight. I'm also excited for Assassin's Creed Mirage. I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan. I'm so excited. Those two are like my top two that I think that I'm looking forward to right now. There are a couple others that I can't think of off the top of my head, but South of Midnight for sure, and Assassin's Creed Mirage are like, those are like at the top of my list right now that I'm super looking forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. That Yeah, South of Midnight is going to be a really good one. I can't wait to play that. The art style and everything about it looks amazing.
It does. Yeah. And it just looks so unique. And
yeah,
I am just so excited to check that one out.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So we're getting close to the end of the episode. And this is the time where the guest gets the opportunity to get off some words of affirmation. And, you know, just give off some positive words, like things like you've heard throughout your years or things that you like to tell yourself, you know, to lift you up and keep you on the up and up, you know. So I'm gonna take a step back and let you step up and let the people know what it is that you like to chant to yourself.
Yes. So I actually have a collection of sticky notes here that I have all over my monitor as my biggest reminders. Before I get into that, there's a song that I like to listen to, and I don't judge me for this, y'all, but, the chorus is, I like to say it's an affirmation for me, and it's a Ha by Juvenile. And if you just listen to the chorus of it, for me, at least when I'm feeling down and I'm just feeling like I need a pick me up and I need to remind myself that I'm out here and, you know, just getting things done. So I'm going to say the chorus for y'all. So it's, you a paper chaser, you got the block on fire, remaining a G until the moment you expire. You know what it is. You making nothing out of something. You handle your biz and don't be crying and suffering. And I just have to chant that to myself, even when I be crying and suffering. So some of the other affirmations that I have, and these are just little nuggets that I picked up from just either my own learnings or people I've encountered in the space. One, it's better to do a few things well than to do many things poorly. So I know as content creators, sometimes we want to have our hands in a lot of different things and we think we got to keep up with everybody and keep up with the industry and trends, but you do not have to do that. It's better to focus on a couple of things, even or just one or two things, and do those exceptionally well than trying to do a whole lot of things and not doing them well. Another nugget, the best thing you can do for yourself is show up. I really want you guys to take that in because showing up for yourself, you need to flex that muscle, whether that's advocating for yourself in different situations, whether it's, you know, doing things even when you don't feel like it, show up for yourself. At the end of the day, the best thing you can do is show up for you. The next thing is, these two are kind of connected, but life has a way of showing up for people who show up for themselves. That one I got from a creator on TikTok, and it just really stuck with me because I realized that when I do show up for myself and I take care of myself, life reminds me that that's a good thing because things will pop up for me, whether it's opportunities or whether it's meeting some dope people or, you know, meeting a goal. You know, whenever I show up for myself, life also shows up for me too. And the last thing I want to leave is redirect your saboteur to grace. And I got that from a career coach that I had when I was working at Twitch. And what that means is I learned that we all have our own saboteur. And the saboteur is like that inner voice, that negative voice that is, you know, causing you to doubt yourself, doubt your content, doubt your skills, or just telling you negative things. And it can hinder us from putting things out there. It can hinder us from reaching our goals. Even when you do something, you know, I know sometimes when we get off a stream or whenever we get done presenting somewhere or putting out some content, we immediately look at the criticism. We immediately start tearing ourselves down and calling out things and insecurities and things like that. And when that happens, I really want y'all to try to redirect that to grace. Give yourself some grace. Whether that means talk, like if you have a notebook of affirmations or reminders of good things you've done or good things people have said to you, you know, redirect that. to grace. Do not buy into the negativity. You don't have to be perfect. None of us are. But when you start tearing yourself down, try to redirect yourself to grace and say, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I did it. I'm not perfect, but I showed up for myself. You know, I'm not perfect, but I tried. Whatever it is you need to do to give yourself some grace, please do that. And that's all I have.
Gem. Dropping all gems. Beautiful. The juvenile thing, that's so funny you said that, because that chorus is so, honestly, like, that song is just spoken word poetry.
It
over,
is
over a Manny Fresh beat, honestly.
It is. Yes, it is. Yes, and it's one of my favorites, so shout out to Juvenile. I love that song, and it's literally in my little playlist when I need to lift myself up.
That's what's up.
Remind myself I'm remaining a G.
Yeah.
Listen, making nothing out of something.
Brandy, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can the people find you on the socials, and what can they expect when they tune into Brown Girl Gamer Code content?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to keep up with me, my socials, I'm Yo Brandy on everything. So Y-O-O. B-R-A-N-D-I-I. That's two I's, not a Y, not an I-E, not one I. Two I's. Yo Brandy. So you can find me. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. So I'm a foodie. So I do food content on there. So I do restaurant reviews. I'm also a host. So I like to interview people as well. So that's where you can find me. It's for Brown Girl Gamer Code. We're literally Brown Girl Gamer Code on everything. We're on Twitch, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Also our website, which we'll be relaunching our website at beginning of next month. So browngirlgamercode.com is where you can find us. And then we also have a stream team, so feel free to catch us on Twitch. We have a great lineup of folks that are creating some fun content on the channel, and on YouTube as well. Check out our YouTube channel. Our code chats are on there, so if you're interested in some dope interviews with some creators and industry experts, feel free to check us out on YouTube.
You got another interview coming up soon. Who do you have the guest? Are you gonna keep it a secret?
I do have the guest, but I'm keeping it a secret. Y'all just gonna have to wait and see. But yes, she's super dope. I am super inspired by her. I cannot wait for y'all to see this interview. So it'll be towards the middle of September. So keep an eye out on our socials for that interview.
Yeah. Great. Yes, yes, yes. And also, if you want to find us on the socials, we are UBG Pod on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. I always forget this, and I say it every time. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. And Twitch, maybe, potentially. I still haven't fulfilled my responsibility as being a Twitch streamer, but I'm gonna be honest, y'all, audience, I'm tired. I get tired after work.
No, so. For real. That's what I said. What I say is better than I just said. Do a few things well than many things poorly.
Yeah.
So you do not need to do it all, okay?
Maybe I just need to do a quarterly, just a quarterly stream.
You could. And you already have a whole podcast here.
Yeah.
So, I've been doing this, you know, too long. Yeah. Yeah, you have a whole podcast here. So don't burn yourself out.
Yeah. I'm trying not to, but it's all good. Oh, but thank y'all so much for listening to this episode. And as always, be happy, drink some water, and keep gaming.